We're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, a great miracle that Jesus performed. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus and this wonderful story about Jesus and what he did for this man. And I pray that you will help us to see what you can do for us. Lord, if you can heal a leper, you can save a soul, you can meet the needs of our lives. So help me, Lord, as I preach, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our story is in the context of the Galilean ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:23 sums up the Galilean ministry, that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Well, you can imagine with such great preaching and teaching, working many amazing miracles, that Jesus began to have huge crowds following him. Now, why is it that Jesus performed miracles? It was not to be sensational, but rather Jesus performed miracles for several reasons. First of all, to give evidence that he is indeed the Messiah and even the Son of God. With these miracles, God would have clear evidence for us to see, eyewitness testimony of the fact that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And even right here in this text, he told the healed leper to go and see a priest as a testimony to them. They would see before their eyes a man who had been cleansed of leprosy, an incurable disease. And how could they not believe in Jesus as the Messiah? But secondly, he did miracles because he cared for people. Right here in this text, it says that Jesus had compassion upon him. And so he did miracles because he saw people suffering and he had the power to heal them of their suffering. But you know, Jesus also performed miracles as illustrations of spiritual truths. For example, when he healed the blind man, he taught that he is the light of the world. When he multiplied the loaves and the fish, he taught that he is the bread of life. When he calmed the storm, he is teaching that he can calm the storms in your life and bring peace to your heart. And so in this text of scripture, we have Jesus performing a miracle. And in this miracle, we see several illustrations of spiritual truths. And the first one that I want to share with you this morning is the fact that we face problems in life. Notice in verse 40 that a leper came to Jesus. Leprosy was a dreaded disease in that day. It was an incurable disease, and it caused all kinds of problems for the individual. And today we know it as Hansen's disease. But as he faced this serious problems, he illustrated three different problems from this illness. And the first is this, that we indeed have physical problems, don't we? Oh, this man had a major physical problems. The word leprosy is based on the Greek word for scale. And so it, first of all, manifests itself in scales in the skin. And so these spots and patches would be so difficult and painful and sometimes itchy. And then the face of the leper, as it developed, it would develop almost like a lion-like face with inflammation and little rivets in his face. Numbness would set in, especially in his hands and his feet. And they would oftentimes, losing feeling in their hands and feet, they would injure themselves and they would begin to decay and even rot off. The throat of the leper would become hoarse, and when he cried, "Unclean, unclean," then you could hear the hoarseness in his voice. Leprosy in the latter stages even began to emit a smell. You could actually smell a leper. And Luke's account indicates that he was full of leprosy. And so this man that came to Jesus was in the advanced stages of leprosy. Now, if you are facing a sickness, perhaps not as bad as leprosy, but if you are facing a sickness, then you can identify with this man. Almost all of my life, I had I didn't have leprosy. I had eczema, and it really bothered me and would flare up from time to time. And I'm thankful that that's pretty much a thing of the past for me. My wife is facing an illness. She's not here today because she just got home from the hospital after being there for 21 days with an inflammatory condition. They still don't know why she's having this inflammatory condition. She was in the hospital 41 days prior to that when she had a relapse some weeks ago. Yes, she knows what it is to suffer. Perhaps someone is facing heart disease or even cancer this morning. Oh, that can be a terrible, terrible condition. And so we have physical problems, but secondly, we have social problems in life. And this man had social problems because of the law itself. When someone had leprosy, they were commanded to isolate themselves from the community and even from their family. One reason was it could be contagious, and so God was protecting people from the contagion of leprosy. But also, many things would make a person unclean. To touch a dead body would make you unclean, and you would not be able to go to the temple, and you would not be able to do certain things because you had become unclean. And so they were isolated to protect others from becoming even religiously unclean and shut out from society. How would you like to be a leper, to have not only a physical illness, but to be socially isolated from just about everybody? That's the condition this man was in. Some people have experienced social isolation. Perhaps if you're very shy and withdrawn, you're socially isolated. If there's something odd or different about you, people tend to not want to have anything to do with you. If you struggle with mental illness, people like that oftentimes are socially isolated. And so this man had physical problems. He had social isolation. But thirdly, he had spiritual problems. He illustrates that in our own life. And there were two respects in which he illustrates the fact that we have spiritual problems. The first was that he was religiously unclean. In the last of verse 40, he said, "Make me clean." He didn't say, "Heal me." He said, "Make me clean," because he was religiously unclean. He couldn't go to the temple. He could not worship with the people of God because of this condition. And furthermore, he was made to feel that his leprosy was due to his sin. The rabbi said, a person is not healed until their sins are forgiven. They said, if you're sick, it's because you've done something wrong. You've broken God's law. And that's what this man was taught. He sinned and he still has this leprosy because he's still sinning and God hasn't forgiven him. How would you like to be told that? Well, Miriam rebelled against God and she was afflicted with leprosy. Yes, sometimes that does happen, but the rabbis, what they taught is not true according to Jesus in John chapter 9, for example. Sickness does not necessarily mean you personally have sinned and brought it on yourself. Sickness is a result of the sin of Adam. And until Jesus comes again and makes all things new, even the most godly among us, like Job, can become very sick. Yes, he illustrates the spiritual problem that sin brings on us. First of all, sin has symptoms. Just as leprosy is an inner disease that manifests itself outwardly, even so our inward sin will always be manifested outwardly in how we talk and in how we act. Every one of us from childhood begin to sin. We tell lies. We break the Ten Commandments. We're all sinners. And sin separates just like leprosy does. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. The choir sang about that wonderful city of Jerusalem, that heavenly city. Well, listen, if your sins are not dealt with, if your sins are not forgiven, you will be separated from that city and from God for all eternity, just like the leper was separated. And furthermore, sin leads to death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And just as leprosy led to an untimely death, even so our sin will surely take our lives. You're already spiritually dead, separated from God, and it will lead to physical death just as surely as the Word of God is true. And so, we have problems, don't we? We have physical problems because of sin. We have social problems because of sin. We have spiritual problems because of sin. So what should we do when we have such great problems in life? We should do what the leper did, and that is bring our problems to Jesus. Oh, leprosy was incurable. And this man believed, hearing the reports of Jesus healing others, that he was his only hope to take away this incurable disease from him. And so he came to Jesus. Now the Gospels tell us that, one of the other Gospels tells us that Jesus was ministering in a city, and this leper walked into the city in desperation to get to Jesus. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. And you can imagine the crowd fleeing, getting away from this leprous man as he entered into that city. Well, he illustrates what we should do, and that is come to Jesus in faith. Ephesians 2:8 says that we're saved by faith. We must have faith in Jesus if we are going to be forgiven and saved. And this man had faith, didn't he? He came to Jesus and he said, you can make me clean. Literally, you have the power to make me clean. I believe it, Jesus. And so he had faith. But think about the faith that he had. Faith comes by hearing, according to Romans 10, 17. Now, if he was isolated and couldn't be around people, how did he know that Jesus could heal him? Well, Jesus, according to verse 34, was healing people, and the report of his healings came to the leper camp. Oh, if he can heal the lame and make them walk, if he can heal the blind and make them see, then he can heal me even though I have leprosy. And so hearing the reports about Jesus healing others, he believed that God would heal him. And that's the kind of faith we have to have, isn't it? None of us have seen Jesus, but we've heard about Jesus. We've read the eyewitness reports of what he did in miracles, what he did for us on the cross, how he rose from the dead. And believing those reports, we can have faith, saving faith, like this man had. But this man also had great faith. Great problems require great faith. The rabbis confessed that they were powerless in the face of leprosy. Only time leprosy was healed in the Bible, three times, it was always a miracle. Moses' hand, Miriam, and Naaman, the Syrian. It was always a miracle. And so only the Son of God could heal this man by the power of God. And you know, this man came to believe that Jesus had the power to heal him. He had great faith. Only a great faith could bring healing to his great problem. And folks, it takes great faith to believe that we can be saved from our sin. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can set you free from the power of sin. I've heard testimonies of alcoholics and drug addicts who have been immediately set free from the power of that addiction, and God can set you free. But this required a great object of faith. In order to have great faith, you need to have the great object of faith. Your faith is never greater than the object of your faith. Only a great Savior could give such great faith to this man. Remember how the king received word about healing Naaman? And he saw the message and said, "Am I God that I can heal leprosy? How can this man be healed of leprosy?" Well, this man believed that Jesus could do it, and even in his mannerisms, he demonstrated that he believed that Jesus must be the Messiah and even the Son of God, because when he came to Jesus, he knelt down before him. Knelt down before him. Matthew tells us that he worshiped him and called him Lord. His very manner of approach to Jesus indicated that he believed that he must be the messianic king, even the very Son of God. And so if you need to be saved, if you have a great problem, you need to have great faith, and believing that Jesus is the Son of God will give you that great faith. And furthermore, we need to believe that Jesus wants to help us. This man came to Jesus. He didn't demand anything of him. He only said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Lord, I'm not telling you to heal me. I'm not demanding you to heal me. I'm just saying, Lord, you're sovereign. And if you are willing to heal me, I know you can do it. Boy, that's a far cry from the approach of some faith healers that say you got to name it and claim it. You got to just name and claim your healing. No, we say, God, if it's your will, heal me. It's up to God. And he recognized that. You know, if you want to have faith that God is going to answer a prayer, you first of all need to know if he is willing to answer that prayer. You need to know God's word and search the promises of God's word. And when you find a promise from God that applies to you, you can pray that promise to God and know that he's willing to do exactly what he's promised. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're not saved today, call on the Lord and he will save you. You can be as sure of it as the very promise of God. Yes, the Bible teaches us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. You don't need to doubt whether God wants to save you. He does. So ask him to today. Well, thirdly, this morning, Christ will respond to faith. Be assured of that. Christ will respond to your faith. And I tell you, the attitude of Jesus toward this man is very touching, isn't it? He said, I will. I do want to heal you. He had compassion upon him. He didn't flee from the leper. He actually touched the leper. He did not look down upon him as some great sinner because he had leprosy, but he had compassion on him. And so when you come to Jesus with your need, I believe his response will be the same kind of response that we see here. And that is that he will have compassion upon you. Verse 41 literally says that he was moved with compassion. That word refers to your entrails, feeling down into your entrails. That's the kind of compassion that Jesus had. And 24 times in the Gospels, we read that Jesus had compassion on people. And remember this, our misery makes us the objects of his mercy. Listen, if you're facing a great problem, if you're facing a great illness, if you're suffering greatly, don't you believe for a moment that the Lord doesn't care for you? He does. He has compassion upon you. His mercy can be extended to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. So come to Jesus. He loves you. He has compassion upon you. But also he will touch you in some way. In the middle of verse 41, we read that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. You know, it's likely that the whole crowd standing at a distance gasped when they saw Jesus touch this man. But you know, that's exactly what this man needed. This man was isolated from human touch. Even his own family, when they came to visit, had to just set down his food and kind of wave at him and then quickly scurry off. This was the first time this man had received a loving touch, except perhaps from other lepers, in a long time. Jesus gave him a loving touch. And you know, Jesus is still touching people today. But he has no hands but our hands. He has no feet for our feet. We are to minister in Jesus' name in the way that Jesus ministered to people, and that is to touch people, not only with prayer and the word of God, but literally touch them. You know, when I visit in the hospital, it's always been my practice to take that person by the hand and pray over them. Oh, the healing power of touch. A hug has healing power in it. Remember that. Remember what happened in 2020, 2021, 2022, and to some degree, even to this very day, COVID. And when COVID came, we didn't touch anybody anymore. We kept our distance. We were afraid. But you know, we still need to be touched. You know, at some point I decided, well, phooey, I'm going to hug my grandchildren anyway. You know, and that's what I did. That's what I did. And I never got sick and they never got sick. But listen, the healing power of touch was extended by Jesus. And with that touch, he's saying, I love you, I care for you. But furthermore, he assures you of his willingness to help. In the last of verse 41, he says, I am willing. You know, when you have a great problem, remember Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now, it's not always God's will to heal, but a lot of times it is. And just believe that he cares for you and that he is willing to answer prayer. He is indeed. And finally, that he has the power to help. The last of verse 41, Jesus said, be cleansed. Be cleansed. That's a command. And immediately that leprosy left him. What power that an incurable disease was immediately cured by Jesus. Immediately his face became cleansed. The skin on his face became clear. Immediately, the hoarseness of his voice cleared up. Immediately, his hands and his toes healed up. Immediately, the stench of leprosy went away. The scales departed. Oh, the power of Jesus. And just as Jesus healed him immediately, he can save your soul immediately. You can be born again immediately. You don't have to go through some long ritual and sacraments and all kinds of things in order to be saved. Jesus Christ can save you immediately. Believe it. Jesus illustrated that in his power to heal the leper. Finally, we see from our text, we should respond with obedience. Respond with obedience. When Jesus saves you, when he does something great for you, then you certainly ought to respond with obedience. In fact, obedience is one mark of a true Christian. And so Jesus commanded this man to obey him. In fact, it says he strictly warned him. The original language is the snort of a bull. Now, kids that are here, you know, have you ever had your parents, like when they really mean something? I mean, you can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in their face. And you know, that's what Jesus gave off. Now, it's very important that you do exactly what I command you to do. But how the leper was to obey Christ was very clear in our Lord's instructions. First of all, he was to keep quiet. Verse 44. See that you say nothing to anyone. There are several reasons why that was important. First of all, the priests were already becoming antagonistic. He didn't want the priest to hear about this before the man showed up and might not certify his healing because they didn't want to admit that Jesus did this. But also, as Jesus says in this text, to be a testimony to them. And so he was to keep quiet. And verse 45 talks about the massive crowds that erupted as a result of this man disobeying Jesus and spreading it all over the place. Jesus didn't want that. But secondly, he was to be a testimony to the priests. Go your way, show yourself to the priests as a testimony to them. When the priest certified his cleansing, his healing, they would have incontrovertible evidence that Jesus must be the Messiah. He wanted the priest to believe in him. But you know, the leper in the presence of the priest was to offer those things which Moses commanded. A leper would be very pure, poor, and so the sacrifice was just two little birds. And one bird, its neck would be cut. Its blood poured into living water, symbolizing that only by the shed blood of the Messiah would we be forgiven and cleansed of our sin. The other bird was dipped in that blood and water and set free, and the bird could go back to rejoin the fellowship of the flock, symbolizing that when Jesus saves us by his shed blood, he puts us in fellowship with God and puts us in fellowship with the saints of God. Yes, he was to do that. But you know what? Is that what he did? Not initially. Like the leper, too many times we disobey Christ. Verse 45 says he just went out and spread all around what Jesus had done for him. In verse 40, we see him at his best. In verse 45, we see him at his worst. His disobedience deprived towns of Jesus being able to come into the town and minister. He had to stay outside of the towns. Listen, Jesus knows what's best. And when he tells you to do something, whether you understand it or not, you do what Jesus says. So what are we to do? He told the leper, don't tell anybody. But we are to tell everyone about Jesus, aren't we? He commands us to be witnesses unto him. Will you be obedient and tell others what Jesus has done for you? Will you tell others about how he can save their soul as well? Will you share the gospel with others? But we are also, just as he told the leper to offer the birds as a sacrifice and the symbolism it portrayed, even so, we are commanded by Jesus to be baptized as a testimony that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and he rose again from the dead. As a testimony that we've died to sin and been raised to walk in newness of life. As the healed leper was to offer the sacrifices as a testimony, even so you are to obey Jesus and follow him in baptism. And if you're a Christian and you haven't done that, you need to obey Jesus. Will you offer yourself as in baptism as a testimony to the Lord? You know, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to invite anyone to be saved today. The Lord will save you today. Believe it. He's the Son of God. He died for your sins on the cross. He rose from the dead. We are going to invite you, if you haven't been baptized, to be baptized. You ought to obey the Lord. And so when we sing in Christ alone, if you need to obey the Lord, perhaps church membership, then you come as we stand and as we sing. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of Jesus Christ, the saving power. As he saved this leper, so you save souls. Lord, I believe you're still healing people today and helping us with our great problems. Lord, help us to look to you in faith and help us to be obedient to you in this time of invitation. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be down at front. Deacon will be available as well. And so let's stand as we sing in this time of response.